We're talking today with Jesse Roach. He is director of the City of Santa Fe's Water Division. Jesse, you made a presentation to the City Council recently on the status of the city's current water supply. Actually, you painted a rather rosy picture, especially since here we are in the middle of a drought. Why is that?
The main reasons for that is that we have been working very hard for about 25 years to put ourselves in this position. In 1995, the city actually bought Sangre de Cristo Water Company. And since then, we have established a very successful conservation program such that in 1995, when we took over the water company, the demand in the city each year was over 13,000 acre feet per year. The unit doesn't really matter, but we were using 13,000 acre feet. And in the next 25 years, we have chipped away at that through conservation such that now, although we have added 25% more users during that time, we're using less than 9,000 acre feet per year now. So we've reduced our total water use by a third in that period of time.
How have we done that? What conservation methods have we used to do that?
Well, a couple of the big ones, the low-hanging fruit, I think, was we instituted a tiered rate structure so that in that rate structure, you get your first lock of water for a reasonable amount, and then once you go into the higher tier or the higher block, you start paying quite a bit more for that water. Another piece is a huge toilet retrofit program. I mean, in the mid-90s, there were toilets around town using 2-3 gallons of water per flush. And now, you know, we are on the lower flow toilets pretty much around the board. But we continue to chip away at all sorts of conservation efforts. And you can go to our website, our conservation website, which is Save Water Santa Fe, and find places to be reimbursed for getting rain barrels, for low-flow fixtures.
Now, you also mentioned that well levels have recovered dramatically over the last, 10, 15 years?
Yes, and so that gets to the second piece. I'd say the first piece of the reason that we're resilient is this conservation effort. The second piece is that we brought a fourth source of supply to our portfolio. So in 1995, we had the Santa Fe River and we had two well fields, a local well field within the city limits and a well field out along the Buckman Road, closer to the Rio Grande. In 2011, we added the Buckman Direct Diversion, which is a joint project with the city and county and actually Las Campanas to divert water directly from the Rio Grande. And so that added to our portfolio. And what we've done since then is essentially we have two rivers that we divert from and we have two well fields. And we treat the well fields, we think of the well fields as our savings account. We know that there's water down there. We don't know exactly how much. We know how the water levels fall when we pump it and that they recover when we stop pumping it. And since we brought the BDD, the Buckman Direct Diversion, online in 2011, since then, year in and year out, we basically have used about 80% of our total use has been from rivers, and we've reduced our groundwater use significantly, allowing them to naturally recharge, and our well levels have recovered significantly in the last 10 years. So we're putting ourselves in a position where we can rely mostly on river water and save the well water for times of drought. But we're in good shape and our wells are recovering.
You've also put requirements on builders regarding water supply, right?
That's correct. And there's two pieces to that. The new green building code is really encouraging a low water use in new development. And when a builder comes to the city and says, we have a development, they work with us to look at, okay, what sort of added water demand do we expect from this development? And then they need to offset that water demand by bringing us sort of rights in our well field so that we can use that well field more fully. We do long-term planning. We look out 40 and even 80 years into the future, and we look at what do we think the supply will look like in 80 years, and that starts to incorporate global climate models and climate change projections. And then also, what do we think the demand will look like out in 80 years?
In planning so far out, there are so many variables that have to be taken into consideration. That seems like a very difficult time trying to make those projections so far out.
That's correct. There's a lot of uncertainty associated with it, and we take the best available science and typically look at what are the range of projections that we're seeing from the global climate change models out 80 years. And we'll look at the ranges. We'll look at some that are drier and some that aren't quite as dry. And then we may run some scenarios that just look at historical drought, look at tree ring records and what sort of droughts we're seeing all the way back into the 1600s. Now, we do know that even in the last 20 years, we've been in a period of sustained drought. So just looking at repeating that, that could be a scenario. So actually in our planning process, we're working on developing those supply scenarios, those drought scenarios, and then also demand scenarios. And then we'll put those together and look at what sort of shortages we might see out into the future. And then based on those shortages, what sort of adaptation strategies we need to put in place so that we can always stay 10 or 20 years ahead of potential shortages.
But with climate change, of course, it's hard to look historically because historically, you know, doesn't mean a lot anymore, it would seem, you know, because things have changed dramatically and so fast.
Yeah, that's correct. And so it used to be in hydrology, we would look at the past to try and understand what might happen in the future. And we might use tree ring records or other records to go back hundreds and hundreds of years. And that's changed now because of climate change. And so we look at output from these large global climate change or general circulation models and feed those in as our scenarios. Having done that, we expect and we are planning for a reduction in surface water on average, a reduction in river flows on average between a quarter and a third by the end of this century. And we expect that that will also have a similar impact on our groundwater resources. So we are planning for a future with less available water. Our next major untapped supply is the effluent that when we bring water in, pretty close to two-thirds of it is used indoors and flows through the sewer system and is treated at the wastewater treatment plant. There's almost 6,000 acre feet per year of water that ends up there. And we're working on our next supply is to take some of the water from the water treatment plant and pipe it back down to the Rio Grande to get exchange credits there, which will allow us to divert more water from the Rio Grande.
So how far out can we say, hey, we look like we're in good shape?
If we were to do nothing, we think if the worst case climate change models were true or correct, and the high growth scenarios that we've considered were correct, so in sort of a worst case scenario, we might start to see shortages by the 2030s. And again, this is if we did nothing. But if we can start to exchange some of our effluent in order to divert more river water, then that pushes us out for several decades.
What about cannabis issue in terms of, you know, so many people may start producing cannabis? What kind of effect is that going to have on water consumption and water supply? Do you have any idea of that?
That's a really good question, and that's emerging. And I think that that's actually something we will need to put into our demand scenarios for this next planning cycle. When we start talking about cannabis, that becomes similar to an outdoor use. It's water that we provide to the customer, but that doesn't come back into the sewer system. And that could be a game changer if that ends up being a major growth sector for potable water use in the city.
We've been talking to Jesse Roach, who's the director of the city's All Things Water. Thank you for taking the time to talk with us today.
It was my pleasure.
For KSFR Radio News, I'm Dennis Carroll.